kindness, your mercy, your goodness. Oh, come on, somebody. If he's done anything for you in the past couple of weeks, can you just lift up your hands and worship him? Jesus, we thank you, God, on this Sunday morning that we can come and lift up your name, God. Oh, come on, somebody, speak in your holy tongue. Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. And no one like our God. I want to preference this today by saying, don't get me confused with being passionate, with being emotional. This morning I come up here with a passion for what God gave me, and don't think that this young man up here is just a real emotional tightwad, but today I come up here because I'm a little bit passionate about what God gave me this morning. The old song says, if you only knew, if you only knew. You know, when God gave, when they asked me to, when Pastor told us I'd be speaking this Sunday a couple weeks ago, I began to pray about this, and when God gave me this message, I just became so overwhelmed and so feeling so unworthy. But first things first this morning, I'd like to give honor to our pastor and sister McFarland. Amen. I'd like to give honor to my family, Sister Jerrica, Beckham, my mama, my dada, my brother, my sister, my nephews, Luke and Mark. I'd also like to give honor to some people here that I didn't really know for sure they were going to be here this morning, but I'm so thankful they're here, and I don't even think they know how influential they've been in my life, and that's Brother Johnny and Sister Dana Hand, and it's so good to see y'all. I love you guys so much. And I always give honor to the leadership of our church, but I also want to give honor to you, the church. You are no doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, a class act. You guys are the best of the best. You bring us in, you welcome us in, you treat us like family, and I'm so blessed to be a part of you guys. And I just want to let you guys know that I personally love you, and I know everyone else does too. And so for that being said, if you are newer here, I want you to just go ahead and give us a chance. Give us a chance to be for you what someone here was once for us. It is easy to feel, though, as we are all alone in our walk in life. And it is oftentimes, it's very easy to feel as if I'm all by myself as we start this sermon here. And in fact, the scripture says in Job 23 and 8 through 9, behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. You sit there and it's so easy to look around and to think you're all alone. And to paraphrase what the scripture is saying, he goes, I looked to my left, you weren't there. I looked to my right, you weren't there. In front of me, behind me, you weren't there. And I was so alone. I was all by myself in my walk with life. And I didn't know how anything was going to turn out. And I was all by myself. I wonder if that's how someone here today feels. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your love, your mercy, your kindness. God, we pray, God, that you anoint me, God. God, that you open up our hearts, our minds, our spirits to receive what you have for us this morning, God. God, I ask you, God, to open up every heart, every mind, every spirit, God, to be receptive for your word. God, I pray, God, that you have your way in this service. God, I pray, God, that you anoint us, God, and have your way, God. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, and the church says, amen. You may be seated. It is not lost on me the very prevalent fact of that loneliness is a very real thing. We can try to do the right thing over and over again and just seemingly fall short over and over again. This morning, I'm not limited to just talking to these individuals, but I'm talking to the single mama who doesn't know how they're going to make it through. The father that seems he's letting his down, that feels like he's letting his family down against his best effort to trying to do the right thing the right way. The one who feels like their ministry is over and that they have nothing left to offer the kingdom of God. The drug addict that tried every program and still can't get out of their addiction. The saint who's on the brink of giving up on all things of life. The person who's dealing with so much pain, it's unbearable. The one who feels so lonely, they don't know what they did wrong to deserve it. But if you think this morning that just because you go to an apostolic church that you're not going to deal with loneliness, I'm afraid to inform you that that's not the case. You will go through a season. You will go through a time of being alone. You will go through a time where you can be in a crowded place like we are today of over 100 people and still feel all alone. You can go to the middle of Walmart but still be crowded around at a concert full of thousands of people and still, Brother Jimmy, feel so alone. It's a real effect. It's a real thing in our life that we deal with of a loneliness, that we do everything we can. We say all the right things. We act the right way. We dress the right way. We talk the right way. But somehow we still feel so alone. And at times we keep asking ourselves, how can we get out of this? When I was asking God what to speak on for this morning service, he began to speak to me on this topic that's a very real situation. Every service, there are countless individuals who just come to the service and to declare maybe to just themselves that this is it. No more will I put myself through the pain I have tried, and it seems that we can't be helped by God no more. If God won't move in my situation today, then I am giving up. I couldn't help but to get a little somewhat of emotional about this because I was once one of those people. Coming to the church thinking I was all alone and feeling as if there was no hope for me, that I did all the right things. I crossed my T's. I dotted my I. I made sure my tie was perfect. I tried to do everything I could do. I put the smile on when I didn't want to smile. I gave hugs when I didn't want to hug no one. And I told people I loved them even though I didn't feel like I had love in me no more. Because I understand what it feels like when you come to a church and you feel like you just don't know what's going to happen. And you sit there and you contemplate, maybe God has forgotten about me. And maybe God has just lost me somewhere between my birth time to where I am today. Maybe somewhere in the translation of life, I have gotten forgotten about. And I have got overlooked. And God's no longer caring about me. And if this doesn't talk to you, then God bless you. I hope you never have to feel that way, but I'm kind of assured that there's more than us, more of us that feel that same way at one point in their life, that they felt like, I've done everything that I can do. I've said everything I can say, but Brother Bill, somehow I feel so overwhelmed, and I've come to this church service and said to myself, if God don't move, if God don't make a way, I am just going to die. I am just going to let life have its course. I'm done fighting for myself, but God, if you want me to do something, then I need you to be there for me. Will you clap your hands if you've ever felt that way in your life this day? We have given God an ultimatum because I thought I knew everything about the situation. I thought I knew what was best. I would look all around me like Job and said, but seemingly could never find God when I needed him the most. And it was there, and it is so much more to that scripture that I read in the beginning of this message. Because the very next scripture after Job 23 and 9 is Job 23 and 10. Maybe one of the best encouraging scriptures. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take.
And when he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I looked to my left, you weren't there. I looked to my right, you weren't there. In front of me, behind me, God, you weren't there. But he said the very next scripture, but God, you were there. Somehow in my life, I found myself feeling all alone, but somehow I looked around and somewhere, somehow, Sister Abby, God was still working because he said, I am there. So easy to get so overwhelmed with emotion when you begin to think of the loneliness. But when you realize, because you kind of feel like a fool, when you realize, Brother Lee, that the whole time you felt alone, he was right there by your side. The whole time you felt like your ministry was over, he was right there by your side. Every time you felt like you couldn't get over addiction, he was right there by your side. Every time you thought cancer was gonna win, he was right there by your side. Oh, somebody. Every time you felt like that you couldn't get over the emotions of the pain and the burdens of hurt, he was right there. Clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God. We just ended our 4-week lesson series last Sunday in hyphen class on forgive. And throughout these weeks, we've learned that there's 4 steps of the forgiving process. 1, you've got to forgive yourself. 2, we have to learn to give grace. 3, we got to learn to forgive those who hurt us. And 4, and often the hardest part of forgiveness, is we got to forgive God. Kind of got some of the same facial expressions the hyphenners did last week when I told them that. How do I forgive God? God didn't do nothing wrong to me. No, he didn't. But human nature is we feel wronged by God some days. God, how can you let me be all alone? How can you let me feel so broken? How can you let me feel as if I'm useless? God, I've dedicated my whole life to this kingdom. I've dedicated my whole life to this doctrine. I've tried everything that I could do. And it's so easy. We've begun to blame God for the things that we feel like he should have done it another way or done it our way. I wonder if anybody here has ever been in the same boat that I've been in where I blame God because I thought God should do the way I thought it should be done. That I thought that God would make everything right again. That God would put pieces back together, but sometimes he just lets us go through it. That God would deliver me through my trial, but instead he let me live through the trial. That God would step through and say, peace be still in the middle of my storm, but instead God said, I'm just going to carry you through the storm. I mean, after all, we know what's best for us. I mean, doesn't God owe me an explanation of the pain that I am going through? Hey, come on, don't act like you haven't been there. We've all been there where we want to know, God, why do you act the way that you act? Why did you let me go through the things that I go through? Why did you let me have to face the pain that I faced? God, I don't understand. I don't comprehend why you think it's so fitting for me to go through the pain. Doesn't God owe me an explanation? Job 38, 1 through 18 says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth the counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? And when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors, when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb, when I had made the cloud garment thereof and thick darkness a swaddling band for it, and break up for it my decree place, and set bars and doors, and said, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And here shall thy proud waves be stayed. And hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused the dayspring to know his place, that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, and that the wicked might be shaken out of it? Is it turned to clay as to the seal, and as they stand as a garment? And from the wicked their light is withholden, and the high arm shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors in the shadow of death? Hast thou perceived breath of the earth? Declare it if thou knowest it all. So what is the purpose of this creation talk to Job? Job remained in the dark. He had a rough time. He lost everything he had, and he began to question God and wanted God to answer him. God answers him, and as often happens, we form questions for God, and when the answer comes, it does not deal directly with the questions that we raised. Perhaps the questions were unanswerable. The most common understanding of Job's response is exactly this point. Job and his friends have been trying to answer a question that they can never solve. There are mysteries beyond human comprehension, such as how to make a world or how to explain suffering, and trust that God will take care. Job is advised to recognize human limits and trust that God will take care of what Job and others cannot know or do. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You can question God all you want. You can ask God, "How do you see it fitting for me to go through the pain?" And maybe if you're lucky and blessed enough, maybe he'll answer you. But if you find yourself in the boat that many of us have found ourselves in, he'll just begin to tell you, "Who are you? Were you there when I created the earth? Were you there when I said the sea can only come this far? Were you there when I did this, this, and this?" And when you have to answer, "No, I wasn't," he says, "Then you just trust me. You don't have to understand why you go through what you go through, but just trust me. You don't have to comprehend the pain in your life, but just trust me." Matthew 11 and 3 through 6 says, "And he said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, then the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." Here's a man who lived in the wilderness, and who was a man who dedicated his life and left his family to live in the wilderness, preparing the way for this man. And all he wanted to know, he was about to be put to death. And he sends word to Jesus and says, "Are you the one that I search for? Or do I search for another?" And the only response that John would get from Jesus is, just let him know, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead live, the poor have the gospel preached, and just don't you get offended with me. What does that paraphrase mean, Pastor? Jesus was telling John, "Hey, listen, you may not understand why the blind see. You may not understand why the deaf hear and why they go through pain. And you may never really understand why I am the God. But I want you to understand one thing, that don't you get offended in my work. Don't you get upset at the way I see fit. Can we go back to Isaiah? His ways are above your ways. His thoughts are above our thoughts. Don't try to be God, but just serve God. Don't try to be the Lord, but trust the Lord. This is the God that I serve. You will never understand. You will never comprehend this God of all creation, that in 6 days he made the whole world, and on the seventh he rested. This God of all creation who said, I'll make the blind to see, the dumb to speak, the deaf to hear. You may not understand. You are not God, but you are my child, and trust that I'm not going to put too much on you that you cannot bear. I'm so thankful for you, John, that you dedicated your life. But doesn't give you the right to require more of me? Oh, let me say that again. I'm so thankful, John, that you dedicated your life to the gospel. But that doesn't give you the right to think that you got something more about you. Many of us come in here today with a mindset of, I'm going to give God one more chance. And that's it. I'm just going to live this out, and I'm going to die. If I'm going to die a drug addict, I'm going to die a drug addict. If I'm going to live and my ministry's never going to be what I thought it should be one day, I'm just going to live it out and die. I'm not going to try for no more. I'm not going to push the envelope, but I'm just going to let it be and just die. Maybe you've come here today and said to yourself, I'm just going to spiritually let it go. I'm spiritually done. Sister Hensley, I've tried so hard. Mama, I've given it all I had. Bishop Quillen, I've tried my best. But David, today, that's it. This is it. I'm done. I've come to the harsh reality of it is what it is. I'll just let it be how it will be. Maybe this is your mindset. Maybe you've given up on God stepping in your situation. And to those that have given up, when I began to get so emotional about this, God, when I began to get so emotional about this and I was praying about this sermon, God spoke this scripture to me. Revelations 3:20. Behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. In the middle of my prayer and fasting of this message, when God spoke that scripture to me, he began to speak something else into my spirit. He said that people have come to services time and time again and have given up on me. They think that I'm not there. They think that I've stopped caring, but that's so far from the truth. They've given me this ultimatum, Brother Ethan, and said, I'm done. And he sits there and he says, but that's not true. Because I've been knocking on this door. And he spoke these three little words to me. Do not resuscitate. And I began to fall down in my prayer and just weep. Because, Mama, I realize that the do not resuscitate means that when that person needs a CPR to be brought back to life, the doctors can't do nothing. You see, I talked to a couple people that worked for a couple doctor offices, and they all told me the same thing. When you sign a do not resuscitate, they put it on the file. And so God began to speak to me, Brother Bill, and tell me that I'm standing there and I'm knocking on this door and I want to make their life so much better. But they've made this ultimatum to me, this sign in this do not resuscitate their spiritual walk with me. And the whole time I'm knocking on the door and I can't come in because somebody won't let me in. And we all know that God is the perfect gentleman. And he's crying out, hey, let me in. I know you feel alone. I know you feel beaten. I know you feel defeated. But Mama, let me in. Daddy, let me in. Brother, let me in. Sister, let me in. And he's knocking. But because we have said and made the ultimatum, we just decided to die in that place. He's knocking on the door and he said, I got the cure, but you gotta let me in. See, God is the perfect gentleman and he won't push himself on you. As the musicians come, I said all of this. To bring me to my title, The Knock. I don't know what you're going through. I know a couple of you, and I know some of your situations, but I really don't know you that well. Don't confuse me as I begin to weep that I'm emotional, but I'm passionate. Because I know what happens when you can just answer the door. You see, there's a knock. And if you listen very intently, if you just listen, you can hear the knock. You can hear this knock. He's telling you it's not over. It's not done. I'm still here. He's knocking on the door. He's saying, I know you feel all alone. I know you feel so defeated, but just listen for the knock. Don't give up yet. I know it doesn't make sense. I know you don't understand it. But he's trying to tell you, don't give up on me yet. And he stands at the door and he knocks. He's crying out to you, minister, don't give up on your ministry yet. Mama, don't give up on your children. He's crying out, Daddy, don't give up. Don't give up on your family. He stands there and he knocks and he's knocking and he's knocking and he's knocking. He cries out, Chris, I want to make it all better, but you got to answer the door. I'm not judging you if you fit this profile of the ones that have given up on God. I'm not judging you on that. I get it. I understand how you can feel that way. But all I'm asking you this Sunday morning, let's all stand. All I'm asking you this Sunday morning is to give God that last chance. He's knocking on your door. You see, you know, God remembers the good. He remembers when He calls you to the ministry. He remembers. He remembers when He put your family together the first time. And He remembers when you were not addicted to drugs. And He remembers when you were so joyous. And He still stands and He knocks because He wants to remind you of His goodness. So I challenge you on this Sunday morning, if you would, to answer the knock. I know you feel weak. I know you feel defeated. If you've got to crawl, if you've got to push past all of this life's pains and heartaches, I challenge you to just get to the door. Open that door. Your ministry is not over. Your calling is not through. You're not too far gone for God to put your family back together. You're not too hurt that you can't be fixed. You're not too shattered that you can't be put together again. This is the God that I serve. This perfect gentleman that wants to make it all right. And He just stands and He knocks. These altars are open. But before you make your way to the front, I want to challenge you that if you will make your way to the front, this will be our way of telling God we are answering the door. And the truth be told, I don't know what stands on the other side of your door. I don't know where God wants to take you, but all I know is God's on the other side and He's knocking. So won't you come? Won't you answer this door? Won't you just answer the knock?
I give myself away so you can use me.
Oh, come on, church. We've tried it our own way.